Stay up to date on the green and gold all season. The Green and Gold Fix podcast is brought to you by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Luxury stay, elite play, unwind in sophisticated comfort. Win big, dine, and experience the events in Milwaukee. This is the Starter Pack.
But you can't see what happened yesterday and not think, I know this guy's good. Now, how great can he be? Jordan Love is fully cemented in that position.
100%.
And now it's how high can he go?
Now, here are your hosts, Max Meyerson and Josh DiMaggio.
Schedule release day might be the 50th biggest day on the NFL calendar, but that doesn't mean that every show on TV, every show on radio, does live broadcasts about, hey, guess who's playing who where? Guess who's doing what when? Every single NFL team social media account, it is definitely their Super Bowl.
It's the admin Super Bowl every year.
It is. It is the biggest day of the year for the social media team. What I found interesting, let's just get to it real quick here. Did you watch the Packers video by chance?
No, I did not.
You don't really need to. Okay. They did get a little more adventurous.
All right.
They tried to go for a little bit more humor. There was Lil Wayne was in it. Rob Domofsky was in it, kicking field goals. There were some like known Packers Twitter people. Braun Strowman, Barstool Big Cat was in it, saying how much he hated it.
Oh, you know, I saw that clip on Twitter. Yeah, yeah.
But there wasn't much to it. I honestly didn't really get it, and I still don't. I don't know if it was supposed to be an audition of some sort, but we'll move past that quick and get into the actual schedule. The schedule came out. The Packers have that extra home game this season with the schedule moving to the odd years. The gold package, Max, the gold package are the people in Milwaukee who have tickets still. They got four home games this year, and the people, the snobs, are mad. The Green Bay folks.
Short end of the stick on that.
And they think that it's not fair. But let's just get into general reaction right away. From the schedule, there was a few things that stuck out in general to me. One, first 8 weeks, there's only one division game. Then there's that stretch from San Francisco week 12 to week 16. Basically, you go San Francisco, the Dolphins, and then on the road, you're playing the Lions, Seahawks, and then back home for the Saints. Four of those games, the last four, are all primetime games. The rest of the Packers pretty much have eight noon games. What's your reaction seeing this schedule and kind of mulling over it here for the past day?
Well, we do know that Matt LaFleur says they got to wake up with their you-know-what hot.
Yes, they're pee-pee.
Oh, yeah. I like just a little behind the scenes of the people at home. We got an email saying, hey, if you're going to say that, make sure you don't actually say the word. But anyway, point is, I think it's a pretty favorable schedule, for being honest. I mean, like you said, they have the extra home game. The away game against, technically, it's an away game against the Eagles, which is, we already knew that.
Sao Paulo.
So it's a neutral site. So they've really got a favorable schedule here. Like you said, no division game or one division game until like midway through the schedule. That allows them to get their foot and get their feet wet. Like last year, like they're still a young team.
Mm-hmm.
Like it took them 8, 9 weeks, 10 weeks to finally find their footing and get it going. I don't think it's going to be quite as drastic this year, but I can still see them being a team like that starts off sort of finding their way and then hits their groove midway through the season, and you're going to want to do that in those division games. So I think it's a pretty favorable schedule.
Yeah, when you looked at the schedule, because obviously we know the opponents, that's what makes the schedule at least so funny. The only thing we figure out is the order in which you play those people. Yeah. We know who you're playing on at home and on the road. Like, none of it's a surprise.
Isn't it amazing?
Yes, it is.
You did a whole show.
For 2 hours.
For 2 hours.
And we have more to talk about.
It's unbelievable. It makes sense. The NFL is the best.
If you want to catch up on that, you can listen to myself, Strofe, and Gabe Neitzel, who did a two-hour schedule release show. We had it by the time it had leaked. They always leak. This time it did leak a little bit later. But there are things here that interest me. Obviously, the kind of having the ramp up before the games really matter against the division is big. And the first division opponent you play in week four is at home against the Vikings. I think that is favorable for the Packers because when the games matter, hopefully, and you could write a story of, you know, Jeff Hafley's defense getting more time to grow, all that stuff, that hopefully the Packers are clicking by the second half where they face all those tough teams. Of note as well is the week 10 bye. NFL teams mostly prefer them as late as possible because you're able to kind of go into that last part of the season with your pee hot, to put it, and have all cylinders clicking. But yeah. Week 10 is good for the Packers. If you were to pick one game to go to, home game here.
Oh, yes. It's easy for me.
Which game are you picking?
Week 7 against the Texans. Jordan Love versus C.J. Stroud. Last year I think everybody was saying the two young star quarterbacks in each conference. To me, because that's also a unique one, right? Like, you're not going to see them very often as an AFC opponent. Other than that, the Niners obviously would be a great game. But for me, that's the no-brainer. As soon as I saw that, I'm like, that would be the game to go to.
Yes, that game's going to be interesting. And I think pretty much as long as Jordan Love and C.J. Stroud are the quarterbacks of their respective teams, those two quarterbacks are going to be compared and those two teams.
Yep.
Now, Jordan Love obviously has the being drafted in 2020 versus C.J. Stroud just last year, but they're both first-year starters, and they both burst onto the scene, and both made cases for them being considered for the MVP.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's how good both guys were towards the end of the season. I totally forgot Stephon Diggs is a member of the Texans now.
They're insane.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of interesting things there.
They got Stephon Diggs. They got Danielle. They are a problem.
My personal, obviously the Texans game would be one I'd love to see.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of the yips about the San Francisco game, even though like that's going to be a good game. Yeah. The last time we saw them play, it was a phenomenal game.
Yep.
The result just wasn't one we liked.
It's tough.
And I think we have a better chance of a good result in that Texans game versus in, because the San Francisco 49ers are the Super Bowl, our Super Bowl team. That's how good they are. The other game that I would love to go to, even though it goes against I won't go to Lambeau after October, is week 18 against the Bears. That game, if it has stakes,
that's the problem, right?
If it matters, it could be so awesome.
Yeah, the question is, you know, are the Packers have already secured a playoff spot? Are they going to be resting? Are the Bears going to be out of it? What are they? You imagine even if they're out of it, they're going to let Caleb Williams play, continue the experience, even though it's week 18 at that point. But yeah, that's always the fear with a week 18 game is that it might not mean anything.
The NFL's done pretty good at making 17 and 18 matter.
Or it means everything.
Yes, correct.
I mean, it literally could mean everything.
The perfect situation for a Packers fan would be the Packers have already clinched and now they can keep out the Bears. That would be the best way to watch that game, to kind of play spoiler.
Yeah.
Like the Bears had the opportunity to do many years ago in a week 17 game where they had to play back the Packers in back-to-back weeks and the Packers beat them both times. I believe Randall Cobb open over the middle was the big play in that one game. So division opponents always going to be a good game. I don't want to do a full schedule game because I already did it. You can listen to it, Wisconsin On Demand with Strolf and Gabe Neitzel. But I want you to run through here and kind of give me what you think the Packers' record are, because I had them at 12-4.
I saw that everybody had them at 12-4.
Yes, and then Chewy did it again. And today on Jen Gabe and Chewy 7-9 ESPN Milwaukee, and he ended up at 12-4 as well. And I was having some hard. There's a couple games where it's like, you know, true coin flip. I had losses to the Rams, to Jacksonville, to Detroit, and then where's my fourth loss? Oh, San Francisco. Sorry. Apologize for that, everyone. So I had them at 12-4. I was sort of 12-5. Sorry, 12-5. Everyone looks at the schedule and kind of has the same thing. This team's a 9.5 win team on the schedule. Them ending the season at 10 wins wouldn't be surprising by any means. There's enough games on this schedule that can go either way, be it the Rams, the Texans, the Jaguars, obviously both Lions games. The Seahawks on the road is not necessarily like a gimme game as you would hope it would be. And then obviously like Dolphins and Bears,
especially that Seahawks game being prime time, and we all know how insane that stadium can get.
Mm-hmm.
That is no gimme. Then they're a talented football team, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Correct.
Just going through the schedule in my head, just right now, I'm not going to go through each game, but I had them at 10-7, mm-hmm. maybe 11-6.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the most realistic. There's a lot of these games that feel like coin flips.
Yes,
to me, like some of these away games, like we just said, the Seahawks, that feels like sort of a coin flip. The Jaguars, that sort of feels like a coin flip. The Rams, all those games feel like tough road games that if they're at home, I feel pretty comfortable. But on the road, you just don't know, you know, anything can happen.
Yeah, so there's an interesting thing where the Packers play, I believe it's like four or five teams that are projected at 8.5 wins,
yeah.
Which the difference between a 9.5 win team and 8.5 via Vegas is minuscule. Absolutely small amount of difference. The Colts are one. The Rams are one. The Texans, the Jags are one. You just look up and down the Seahawks. So if you look at the schedule, you're just kind of like, if the Packers play their best football, they beat all those teams and pretty easily. But that's not how every football game goes.
You don't always
know, play
your best game. Yeah. And I mean, if we're being honest, like a lot of these games that we just mentioned, the Rams, Jags, Seahawks, these are probably like really close spreads.
Yes.
Like probably 1.5 either way, depending
on home field advantage.
Yeah, exactly. So like in a neutral field, they're favored probably in all those games.
Yeah.
But because of the home field, it's probably going to be closer to a coin flip.
Play the Bears, Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, Keenan Allen, and DJ Moore. Do the Packers continue the undefeated streak, the 10-0? Do they take it to 12-0?
I don't know, man. I really like their roster. Like, first of all, their defense played fantastic at the end of last season. And the fact that they added Keenan Allen and Romo Dunze, and if Caleb Williams is what he's hyped to be, that's really what it all comes down to. If Caleb Williams is what he's hyped out to be, there's no reason that the Bears can't win one of these games, probably week 11 at home. But it's the Packers.
Yeah.
You can't take the Bears until you see it happen.
Exactly.
It's like Xander Schauffele's got a nine. He's leading the PGA right now. The guy chokes every time.
I believe
when I see it. Pal. Yeah. This is the Bears going to the Packers.
Yeah.
I believe when I see it.
I'm going to stick with the way it is until I see it. I'll believe it.
Yeah.
Now, if week 18 is like a close one score game, like an absolute battle, and it's like, wow, you barely held them off, you might next season go like, yeah, the Bears are going to get one of these here. Because they're not going to go undefeated against the Bears for the rest of history, as much as I would prefer that to be the case. You're going to lose to the two teams.
I mean, they don't have to. They could just win every game.
I do think the Packers end up splitting with the Lions. I don't know if it's home or away. The Packers obviously beat them on the road on Thanksgiving. And then the Vikings, I don't think, are going to be a competent team at all, unless J.J. McCarthy is really good.
Interesting. I kind of like the Vikings. Like, yeah, it all comes down to J.J. McCarthy, but if you look at what's around him right now, there's a lot of talent at the skill positions in the NFC North. Justin Jefferson, as we know, T.J. Hockenson, Jetta, Jordan Addison, and then they got Aaron Jones. I mean, that is a pretty dang good skill group around a guy who basically at that point all he needs to do is be a game manager, which I think he's more than capable of being. So
the Vikings are 6.5 wins on the season, so that's
pretty low.
Yeah,
that's really low.
I think they have a lot of problems on defense that's going to be rear its ugly head, and they're going to be able to score and move the ball. It's just a matter of is JJ McCarthy a national champion worthy of where he was drafted? Or is he kind of fall more in line with what a lot of people think, like just a game manager? Yeah, just a game manager.
I think that's what he is.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it'll be a shootout one way or another, but I think they're more talent than a 6.5 win team, but maybe Vegas definitely knows more than I do.
Vegas definitely knows a lot of these. They always miss a couple. They're always way off on a few, and it's usually teams going way under because they never project teams to be two-win teams, and that always happens.
Yes. So. And you know what's crazy, too, is like somebody in this division is going to stink.
They have to.
Right? Yeah. Like it's not everybody's an eight-win team in a division unless it's the AFC North. Yeah, every other team, like one of these teams is going to take a step back. And yeah, the Vikings will probably be that team, but yeah, we'll see.
Speaking of the Lions, like we just did, Jared Goff got an absolute bag. We're going to talk about what that means for Jordan Love coming up next. $4 years. $212 million, $113 $15 million of it guaranteed. Ching. That is the new contract for Jared Goff that happened just earlier this week. Obviously, we're not terribly concerned with what the Lions are paying Jared Goff. They can do whatever they want. You can argue about it. But what it means for Packers fans is a lot more interesting. Jordan Love is eligible for his extension. We've talked about that extension. We've talked about the numbers. The number has slowly creeped up pretty much day by day at this point. There was people talking about like $37, $38, $40 million being the Jordan Love contract. And now I don't think there's a soul who thinks it comes in anything under $50 million at this point. The question is Jordan Love going to exceed that number? The number we're using is the average annual salary number. That's just simply the 4 years, 212 divided by the amount of years. That gets you to $53 million. $53 million is also the second highest average annual value of any quarterback in the NFL. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes has made and will make more money than Jared Goff. His number on an average annual value, though, right now is just lower. Patrick Mahomes' contract, I believe, was $500 million at the time he signed it. And I would almost guarantee you he's going to get more than $500 million by the time this is all said and done. But to get to Jordan Love, do you think there is any chance with what we just saw happen that Jordan Love's extension comes in under that $53 million annual average value mark?
No. I mean, no. Jared Goff a couple years ago was like, they were willing to trade first round picks just to get him out of the building.
Sean McVay had to publicly apologize for how excited he was to get rid of Jared Goff. Yeah. He was too excited publicly because they unloaded Jared Goff. And initially, if you remember and think back, people thought this was a salary dump.
Yeah.
For the Detroit Lions. Like, they thought they were just, like, I remember the conversation being, are we ushering in a new era, kind of an NBA style, where teams take on bad contracts because it frees up options for them moving forward? That hasn't ended up being the case. Jared Goff has been better than we all expected. Now, is he $53 million good at football? Now, if we also have to contextualize this. These are all make-believe numbers.
Yeah.
No one, no matter what they do, is worth $50 million a year to do that job. Now, when you contextualize it with how much money the NFL makes and the TV contracts, Jared Goff is worth every bit of $53 million. Someone like Patrick Mahomes is probably worth like $150 million a year
himself. Imagine if it was like baseball and there was no cap.
Yes. Yeah.
How much money Patrick Mahomes would make?
Correct. He'd be the first U.S. athlete to sign a billion-dollar contract. Yeah. And I wouldn't bat an eyelash at it.
Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't sign Patrick Mahomes for $1 billion right now?
Every NFL franchise would love to have Patrick Mahomes and all the Super Bowls to go with
yes.
it. So the interesting part comes in. We've got the $53 million mark. 54 feels like the safe bet because in the NFL, contracts for quarterbacks, they just go higher. If you are viewed as a franchise quarterback or a guy that wants to stick around, all you do is pretty much top the next guy. That's kind of how the contracts work. You just, the next guy to sign is usually the highest paid guy at the position. It's worked like that for years. The salary cap went up, and all that means is the quarterback's portion of the salary is going to continue to exceed. There's an interesting thing here I saw where in the 2026 season for Jared Goff, he will be making, his cap hit will be $69 million for a total of $23.8 million. His dead cap number is $63 million, and that would be 3 years from today. So that's just a number.
That's actually insane.
You can't move on from.
$69 million, nice. 63, a dead cap. Yeah, I mean, if that's what Jared Goff is getting, I'm looking at the average annual values right now. So $53 million, right? So that would actually put him at number two, I believe, right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, right below Joe Burrow.
Right below Joe Burrow, just
who's
ahead
at 55.
Yeah, just ahead of Justin Herbert, who's at 52.5.
Yeah.
I think maybe you split the difference, 54. Maybe just go a little ahead of Joe Burrow, go 55.5. Something like that. That's what you're looking at for Jordan Love. Because that's just how it goes. Like you said, they yeah. reset the market every single time. Anytime one of these guys who even sniffs being a franchise quarterback comes up on the market, They're going to get paid. Kirk Cousins just got paid, what, $150 million guaranteed, mm-hmm. coming off an Achilles at 35 years old, and the team still drafted a quarterback? I mean, that's what you're dealing with when it comes to paying a quarterback. So you just got to bite the bullet. You're going to have to pay him probably $54, $55
million. I want this marked, cut, and put down as a note. I don't think there's any way Jordan Love comes in under the Joe Burrow number of 55. I think going to the negotiating table, and you can argue leverage. Remember the Aaron Rodgers leverage conversation we all had. Leverage is a famous word when it comes to the NFL and contracts. I think when you look at it and say, Jared Goff, yes, he has accomplishments, but look at his team. He lost a Super Bowl. He scored 3 points. He went to an NFC Championship game and ended up losing. Yeah, those are all great things, but he also has a great roster. You can say great coaching staff, all of that. Jordan Love goes to the Packers and said, I took the deal. I took the prove it, and I proved it. Yeah. I took a team that, quite frankly, the Packers didn't even believe were going to be as good as they were.
They didn't believe he was going to be as good as he was.
Correct. So you made me bet on myself. I did it once already. You didn't want to give me the fifth-year option, and now here we are sitting here, and I have a deal coming my way. He looks at Goody and says, if you thought we were contenders or we're going to be any good, why'd you trade Rasul Douglas? Facts. You know, if this was... If you expected us to go against the Dallas Cowboys and win and then take the San Francisco 49ers, the eventual Super Bowl loser, to the wire in that game, it's time to pay me my money. It's that simple. I know $55 is a record-setting contract. I know I only have 9 games to prove it, but guess what? I could have played earlier if you would have traded Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I wasn't the reason I didn't start. You can argue that my performance didn't look good enough in camp and in practice and all that, but guess what? I went out and proved it when given the opportunity. And it's that simple to me. If you're in between 53 and 55 and you're going, we don't feel good going over 55, yeah, it's like, based on what? What is $1, $2 million? We're already in la la land when it comes to money. So why don't I deserve the ability to go over all the number of Joe Burrow? Why don't I reset the quarterback market? And I think the Packers have a really hard time arguing that. They, of course, can play the game. They can carry it out into the season. I think if it gets to that case, Jordan Love should hold in. He should show up to camp and not participate because, frankly, he has the opportunity to secure generational wealth. Yeah. It's that simple for the guy. What do you think? Do you think there's any reality that it goes over 55?
Yeah, I mean, now that you say it, I mean, if you're going to go to 54, you might as well go to 55 and a half.
Right.
I mean, you could literally do 55 and a half and you'd accept it on the spot.
Right.
Because that is the top. You're getting paid the most money of everybody. Mm-hmm. There's no way he would turn that down. But then at the same side, the Packers can still be like, oh, what's the difference between 55 and a half and 53 or 54?
Correct.
Or, you know what I mean? It's just so stupid that we're negotiating over $2 million? I mean, it sounds, $2 million is a lot, but like in reality.
I could use $2
million. Yeah. Jordan, I'll take the extra $2
throw
mil.
A couple my way. Yeah. How about it?
But reality, the NFL, like it's very minuscule, as we all know. So, yeah, I think you're probably right. It does go over the 55, but it to me, it's like, what's the difference between that? Because once Jared Goff signs for 53 average annual, there's no way he goes below that.
Well, and the interesting thing to me is the Packers knew this Love contract was impending.
Yeah.
They know the Dak Prescott thing was impending. Who knows what the Cowboys are doing? It's hard for anybody to predict at this point.
Just don't be the Cowboys.
Right.
That's what you don't want to do.
So it's not like the Jared Goff number came in. Maybe it was a little bit higher than they expected, but I don't think it matters to Jordan Love and his camp because to them, we ain't going lower than $54 million no matter what, and they ask for $60. Then you negotiate down from there.
Yeah, you're not getting $60.
No, of course not. No, Patrick Mahomes is probably the only one who would have an argument for $60, but that's just negotiating. You shoot for the moon, and then you work your way down and say, hey, I made concessions.
Sure. Why not $55
Why not $70? Exactly.
No, but you're right. It's probably going to come down to, it's going to be something ridiculous, like $55.1 million or something stupid, $55.25
million. If you remember, I forget what the tackle was, but after David Bakhtiari was made the highest paid left tackle, it might have been like Laremy Tunsil or Tyron Smith. I believe they got like I believe it was like $1,000 more. I believe it was that minuscule of amount, just to say, because then the agent gets to argue it, yeah. and the player gets to say, I'm the highest paid tackle, even though the amount was like to them a pittance. Yeah, of cash.
Yeah, it's funny. Like you're like looking at these contract numbers right now. Like Deshaun Watson makes $46 million, Kyler Murray $46.1 million.
Yeah,
it's like
yes,
just bragging, right? It's like it's just to have your name a little bit higher on the board there. But yeah, I mean that's probably what we're looking at. We're looking at a little bit over $55 million for Jordan Love, and you know what? I'm fine with it.
Yeah,
and he's gonna take it. Like he could try and negotiate all he wants, hold in, do this, do that. He does not want to play another season and have to prove it again.
No.
He just doesn't. Like, he could still play really well, but man, that's, you're playing with fire there.
Too much risk.
Let's be honest here. Like, one, he could get hurt. Two, he played half a season of not good football.
Uh-huh.
Let's not forget that happened.
Right.
He played elite, top-end, MVP-level football for half a season, and in the playoffs, he was fantastic. Still played half a season of bad football. If that happens again,
right.
Now all of a sudden you're saying, wait a minute. Okay, there's a little bit too much inconsistency here. But then obviously, again, if he plays like he did the second half of the season, now he makes $60 million like we're talking about.
Correct. It's all – Jordan Love has been a good soldier for the Packers. And I don't think it's going to be as acrimonious of a discussion. It's going to be simply – the Packers have an interest in paying him as little as possible, and Jordan Love has the interest of getting paid as high as possible. Yeah. So it's really a simple equation.
How it goes.
All right. Coming up next, we are going to discuss some interesting comments from Adam Schefter, who appeared on Jen, Gabe, and Trillia earlier this week. Are you afraid of the word if, Max? We'll talk about it next. If is only a two-letter word, but it's a word that scared a lot of people just yesterday. Adam Schefter joined Jen, Gabe, and Chewy from 7 to 9. He joins at 7:30 every Wednesday of the week. Let's go ahead here and take a listen to the audio from Adam Schefter talking about if the Packers get an extension done with Jordan Love.
Well, I think his number would go above it, and that's if a deal gets done. I think that the longer the Packers wait, the more difficult it'll be for them and the better it'll be for Jordan Love. That's my own opinion. You know, with each of these deals that gets done, if you had done Jordan Love's deal, let's just say last week, the first time you were eligible, they were eligible to do it, I think, May 3rd, as we discussed. And now it's May 15th. So they've had 12 days on the clock. Goff got done on the 13th. So they had 10 days. Let's just say that they had gotten Jordan Love done on the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, whatever. I would have come into Jordan Love with a strong cash offer, a lot of guaranteed money, easy for me to say, the average of, let's just call it 51, 52. Do you think that that number is going down any after Jared Goff's average comes into 53? I'd have to see the structure of it, but I'm going to guess not.
So Adam Schefter there discussed quite a few things. There's a couple pieces we need to take out of that and discuss. The Jared Goff stuff and the contract going over that, we kind of both are on the same page. It probably goes over who knows how much, but over is going to be the big story in regards to Jared Goff. The second part, and credit to Jen Latta, because I didn't even notice it in the moment, but Shefty said if the contract gets done, and we thought maybe that could have just been a throwaway, but as we know, Brian Gutekunst said he has full intention of getting an extension done with Jordan Love. But he also said then later, when asked again, these things are complicated. It's going to take a while. It may take a bit to figure this all out. When you heard Shefty say if, do you think that's a reason for Packers fans to be concerned?
No. I mean, go read into it as much as you want. Of course, it's an if. I mean, we don't know for certain that they're going to get the contract done this offseason. But why, like Shefty said, there's really no reason to wait. All you're going to do is cost yourself more money. Mm-hmm. Jordan Love is going to get upset at the organization. He's going to hold in like you were talking about. He's going to miss snaps in training camp, and he's going to start off slow. It's just there's no reason for it. It's just a matter of saying, all right, Jared Goff made $53 million. We just have to accept the fact that Jordan Love is not going to make less than that. And I think that makes – I actually think it makes it easier – because I think before they could probably try and talk themselves into like, hey, maybe we can get him down to 50, 51. Now that Jared Goff is sitting there at 53, there's no way he takes anything below that. So I think you're basically looking at from anywhere from 54 to 55.5 million. And at that point, it's a pretty easy negotiation. I expect this thing to get done pretty quickly.
I'm of two minds when it comes to the comments from Shefty here. First, it feels like just covering your bases and just playing it safe. Exactly. It is the NFL. Anything can happen. And I would have never thought the if could mean anything had Davante Adams not been traded from the Green Bay Packers after not getting the amount of money he wanted. Brian Gutekunst, Mark Murphy, the Packers front office, let that become acrimonious enough to the extent that Davante Adams chose to leave Green Bay.
Yeah.
Davante Adams now regrets that, but that's...
No, he said he doesn't regret it. No, he said it doesn't. He said, "Why don't you come on as Jordan Love? Just come to the hey, Jordan Love might be going to the Raiders."
Let's let bygones be bygones with that, Davante. You wish you were back here. We all know it. We'd love to have you back, but sorry. The other factor that has to be mindful of here is the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love's agency are in discussions. It's quite common for player agents to leak out or to put out information that would seem less favorable to the team and more favorable to the player. So could Shefty be hearing from Jordan's Love's agent, David Mugalada? I forget his name. Strophy, if you got it back there, you can chime in and just throw it in there. Jordan Love's agent's name, if you have it at the tip of your tongue. Strophy working behind the glass here. He's eating. Are you eating a roast beef sandwich today? You got a dooski to have later? Sorry, that's a distraction. Alex Ruff holds up his dooski.
That is a powerful lunch right there.
Uh-huh. But Athletes First is they're known for getting the most out of their players.
David Mulligetta.
Mulligetta, there it is. That was close. So do I think this is going to come to the point where Jordan Love is entering the 2024 season without a contract? Probably not. But anytime people like that say something, I do start to wonder. Is Brian Gutekunst and Russ Ball, namely the cap guy for the Packers, going to try to play hardball here? Do they have any grounds to stand on? I would argue not. But Brian Gutekunst has been known for being rather, what's a word to put, non-emotional when it comes to, he doesn't get attached to players. Now, if you're going to get attached to anybody, you would figure it'd be his.
I would say he's pretty attached to Jordan Love.
You would.
He kind of bet his whole career on him.
He did. And so far, it seems like it worked. But yeah, Brian Gutekunst simply values players at what they are. I mean, they let Aaron Jones walk for a deal that, when we look back on it, was an insult.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
So when it comes to what he views somebody as worth, now the quarterback certainly changes everything. Quarterbacks are worth La La Land money. There's no real reality in any of it. But it's the most important position. Is Brian Gutekunst going to be okay with making that big of an investment on a guy they've only watched 9 games? Now, you and I can say, as we did, got no problem with it. Do it. Sign it. Yeah. I'll sign it. Have him sign it tomorrow. Get the guy his money. Get him in here. But is there any consternation or any hesitation from the Packers front office? To me, that would be hard for them to argue. They put themselves in this situation. What are they going to do? They're going to let Jordan Love play out the remaining year of this contract and then tag him 2 more times? That's not going to work out for you in the long run. He's going to end up walking. You can't control his rights forever. The NFL put free agency in for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the Cowboys did, and ask them how they feel about it.
Yeah.
And how they feel about constantly having to live year to year, not knowing who's going to be their quarterback, and trying to play hardball and negotiate and yada yada. You don't win.
Nope.
When you have a franchise quarterback and it's between you and him and how much he's going to get paid, you do not win. The only time you win is if the guy starts stinking,
yes,
which is a lose-lose anyway.
Right, because you're losing games.
Right. So, like, it doesn't matter who, even if you, you know what I mean? Like, when the Bengals had to pay Joe Burrow, I'm sure they didn't want to pay him $55 million, but guess what? You had to.
It's a going price.
It's a going price. Justin Herbert, 52, like, that's just the, we saw this with the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. They didn't want to pay him. He ended up getting paid exactly what he wanted to get paid because he's Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. He's a 2-time MVP. So all you're doing is prolonging the inevitable, and it never works out for you as a franchise in terms of trying to play hardball with a franchise QB, like I said, unless the guy starts to stink, in which case your franchise is dead anyway. So There's no reason to wait on this. And like you said, he said he's not attached to players. Yeah, he's not attached to an almost 30-year-old Aaron Jones who plays half a season hurt every single year. Yeah, of course he's not attached to that guy. Aaron Jones, great player, great guy, we all know. But he's 30 years old and he was hurt each of the last two seasons. This year, Jordan Love, at 26, whatever he is, in his going into his prime, a guy you bet your entire franchise on by drafting him in the first round with Aaron Rodgers on your roster, getting rid of Aaron Rodgers to bring this guy in and let him start playing, you're going to pay him. This is just it's inevitable, and honestly, it probably shouldn't be as difficult as they're going to try and make it to be, but I'm not in the negotiation room. I don't know what Jordan Love's asking for. But I can't imagine that this deal doesn't get done this offseason.
There's another interesting poll quote from there where Shefty says, the longer the Packers wait, the more difficult it will be for them and the better it will be for Jordan Love. That's my own opinion.
Yeah. Is that your own opinion? Or is that is that David, what's his name? David
Mulligata.
Mulligata.
Mulligata, there it is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's his opinion.
I don't want to be the sky is falling, but I have more hesitation than I did, let's say, just 3 weeks ago in regards to this. But that I went from 100% confident to like 97% confident.
Oh wow! Take a real step back.
Do you think Jordan Love enters training camp with a new contract?
Ooh. Now, that's a tougher deadline.
Mm-hmm.
If you would have said before the season starts, I would say yes. Going into training camp, I don't even know how many days away we are from training camp, but I'm going to say...
Here for you a second.
I'm going to say no, but it does get done in training camp.
Now, if it's not done by that time, do you think Jordan Love should participate in training camp?
Yes.
Training camp... Well, that's off-season program. Sorry. I have to keep looking. So
I would understand it for any other position other than quarterback not participating because you're doing a lot of cutting. You're doing a lot of potentially hitting. All these kinds of things where you get hurt or you're wearing on your body. Quarterbacks wear their stupid little red shirts. They don't get touched. All they do is sit around.
Stupid little red shirts?
Yeah, like their dumb little, don't touch me. Oh, don't touch me. Oh, my God. So, like, come on. So, I think he goes training camp, participates, gets the deal done. I don't think it's going to be anything crazy. Scotty Scheffler just hold out for Eagle on his first hit. What is going on? Is this guy?
We have the PGA Championship happening in the background.
I was a bit over.
That's Gabe Knight. I wondered why you were petering out that way and what was happening. And then I looked up and saw Scottie Scheffler, and I figured, oh, that's got to be what Max is distracted by.
All right, I'm sorry. I like golf. All right.
Trophy walks out of the room shaking his head. He's disappointed in us.
Apparently, he's never listened to one of our shows before. This is often how it goes.
Yeah.
Well, listen, just to get back to the whole Jordan Love thing, I don't think he sits out or holds out in training camp. I just think that it'll get done probably at some point in training camp.
When it comes to holding out,
holding
in, couldn't Jordan Love say, well, if you don't want me to, just pay me?
Sure.
If you want me there with the young quarterbacks, I mean the young wide receivers, tight ends, running backs, just pay me my money,
okay,
man.
Okay, well then
pay me my
guess
money.
Guess what, Jordan? I'm the Packers now. So you can well, if you don't go here and go to training camp and start playing well, start the year, maybe we're not gonna pay you as much because you might stink. How about that?
I don't know if our role play is working very good.
I don't know if you're
the most shrewd negotiator.
I'll tell you something, Jordan. Take the deal, all right? All right. Anyway.
There is one other piece here, and we've kind of already gone over it, but I do want to play this second piece of audio from Shefty that I have here. This is when he was discussing the deal for Jordan Love and it not being particularly close.
The numbers on these deals don't go down. They just don't. And so it'll be up to Russ Ball to see if he can get this deal done, wants to get it done. Don't think that they're anywhere close to getting it done right now. And those are conversations that will occur here in the days and weeks to come.
Now, I've never been in a contract negotiation in regards to getting paid hundreds of millions of dollars. But when I first heard it's not anywhere near getting done. It was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And then I realized, well, yeah, it probably takes a while to negotiate something that big. I don't think the Good Karma acquisitions, when they make them here, when they buy ESPN New York or 620 WTMJ, I don't think that stuff happens overnight.
Listen, when I signed here, it was a long process.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Actually, it probably was, because our hiring process here is a damn month for
anyone. I'll tell you what. I talked about everybody in the back of this building for like a month before I got hired as a part-time employee.
We're going way too inside on that.
I
think that's just the modern world of getting hired at a job. I think some people might sympathize with
basically
that.
Basically, what I'm trying to say is the negotiation between me and Good Karma was the same as Jordan Love and the Packers.
Yes.
But listen, yeah, that doesn't mean anything to me when he says, I don't think it's close to being done. These things, it's hard to like know where you are in the process of a negotiation, I imagine. Right?
Yes.
Like, I imagine one day you feel like you're so far apart, and then the next day it just all comes together. Things happen quickly like that in the NFL and in these negotiations. So, to me, that doesn't really mean anything. I don't know if you can ever really truly predict a timetable on these things. It's not like, oh, okay, we're at 58 now, but by next week we'll be at 56, then the next week we'll be at 55, and then we'll have a deal. It's like, no, it's like it just kind of happens naturally whenever it decides it needs to happen. So, that doesn't really mean much to me. As much as I respect Adam Schefter's opinion, I'm sure he's right that right now it doesn't seem like they're that close. That doesn't mean to me that they're not going to get a deal done anytime
soon. Yeah, and let's be clear here. Adam Schefter gets so much good information because he gets information from agents,
yes,
the people dealing directly with that. So would it behoove Jordan Love and his agent to say a deal's nowhere close to getting done? Because in their minds, they're putting pressure on the Packers. Yeah. Now, there was some interesting discussion, and it happened on KBN. It happened on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as well, where, and I don't know what this is, and it's really hard for me to diagnose what other people are thinking, but they hear $50 million, they hear 55, 53, whatever it is, and they don't want to pay that for a quarterback. And I can't really wrap my head around the idea of like getting gun-shy around amounts of money that like... It's not my money that Jordan Love is going to be taking from me.
That's what always bothered me, man.
I don't understand where... Now, if, let's say, there was a job opportunity for me to go somewhere else and I was going to be able to pay twice my salary, would you have your salary to keep me around here?
I like you, Joshy. I don't like you that much.
And I wouldn't do the same for you.
Yeah.
Let's be damn clear. And nobody else... on earth would, because you're looking to get as much money as you possibly get. I know we're Packers fans here. That's what we do. We want our team to be put in the best situation possible, but quarterback is quarterback, and it's the most important position in all of sports.
Yeah.
Put all the sports together, there's nothing singular more important than the quarterback. Look at Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers won MVPs, not as many titles as you want, but those guys matter, and those guys are the kind of thing that keeps the whole train going in terms of your team. I would love the Packers to pay Jordan Love $35 million a year for him to win Super Bowls and MVPs, but that's not the world we live in, and we can't do anything about it.
You know what always makes me laugh when you're talking about fans getting upset? Like, it's not your money. When they get mad about the guaranteed money, it's like... Who cares?
Yes.
You're not the one who's paying the guaranteed money versus non-guaranteed. Ooh, he doesn't hit his incentive. The cap hit's still the same. So, listen, I'm with you all the way. You just got to pay Jordan Love what he needs to get paid. Like you said, the sooner it gets done, the better. If they would have got done before, like hypothetically, yeah, they could have got done before the Jared Goff contract, and maybe now they're in a worse position than they were before. But the more and more you wait, the more and more you bring this out, and let's say hypothetically goes the whole season, and then they have to franchise tag him the next offseason. Well, guess what? Now somebody's going to get paid $57 million, and then it's $59 million, and then $60 million. So there's really no point in prolonging this thing in just a matter of getting the deal done. Let's move on. Let's get Jordan Love ready, and let's roll.
And the idea of hometown discount, shove it up your you-know-what.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks don't take hometown discounts.
Yeah, he's not from.
That's not how
he's
it
not
works.
From Wisconsin either.
And this is his first big contract.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I would love for him to do it, but I also, it would be the worst negotiation ever. And if somebody else did it, and if somebody suggested to me I should take, well, why don't you take less for your job? Why? Yeah. For who? For what?
You
I know. I know we want the team to be as good as possible around them, but that's why you draft a lot of good young players who are on cheap contracts, and when those come up, you have to make tough decisions. But the quarterback is the singular most important position. They get paid, and everybody else fills in after that. The percentage of the cap isn't as scary as it used to be. The NFL raised the salary cap $30 million. And almost all that money is going to go to quarterbacks.
Yeah.
There is no glass ceiling for how much quarterbacks is going to get paid. The Packers are not in a spot, cap-wise, where they need to be pinching pennies and worrying about giving out big long-term contracts like this one. In the Aaron Rodgers end of his career era, that was a factor. That's a reason probably more players weren't added to the roster at that time, because you're pushing so much money in the future. The Packers cleared their books. They're good to go. They're cap healthy. And now they're going to have Jordan Love signed to a massive contract. A contract which, when it comes to it in 3 or 4 years when it's happening, they're going to be able to move some money around,
that's exactly
fudge things, push things into the future, add void years, do all that stuff where the contract isn't going to be some big like harbinger. It's not going to be a big issue for them, because if Jordan Love is as good as he looked, you're going to be happy paying every single dollar.
Yeah, exactly. And exactly what you're saying. You're betting on Jordan Love being what he was last year. And if he isn't, then it's a giant failure anyway. So it doesn't really matter. As for the Jordan Love contract, and like you said, like they're kind of in a weird spot, because most of the time when you have a, like they always talk about having the quarterback on the rookie contract.
Yes.
That allows you to spend money on other positions. This is kind of the opposite. You've got a lot of skill position players on rookie contracts, tight ends, wide receivers, now some offensive linemen. Now all of a sudden you can spend the money on the quarterback while still being cheap at those positions.
Yeah, the Packers just flipped the formula.
Yes.
All they did was, because they had Jordan Love sit for 3 years, and it probably most certainly helped Jordan Love in his career long term.
No doubt about it.
He ended up being a better quarterback than he would have been had he been forced into starting as a rookie. He wasn't developed to that point. But what that does is make you have to change the process. The rookie quarterback contract thing, I mean, look at the 49ers. They are living and dying off of that contract. Yeah. But guess what? Brock Purdy's going to get paid if they keep winning games. That's just how this goes. So it's only a short-term option. But a good way to get around that is to have a young quarterback on a big contract and then a bunch of people around him who aren't on as big of contracts.
Yep.
That way you can pick and choose. You can add guys continuously. I mean, Goody is not going to stop doing the draft multiple guys at a position, figure it out, find the best one, keep them, and just keep rifling through it. We saw it with the linebacker position. We saw it with the tight end position. We saw it with the wide receiver, safety. Yes, all those positions. That's just how they're going to build the team. And until Jordan Love is Aaron Rodgers' age when he left the Green Bay Packers, they're going to continue to build the team around that, and it's just going to be an influx of young guys around an established good quarterback.
Yeah, and then by the time, and the beautiful thing is like you talk about with Jordan Love restructuring his contract later in the contract, like say Christian Watson stays healthy, has a bunch of really good years, now all of a sudden comes time to pay him, or Romeo Doubs or Jaden Reed or whoever it is. All that stuff, like if Jordan Love is paid already at that point, he's probably going to be more willing. Like, you know what? I love playing with this guy. I'm willing to restructure my contract. I'm willing to kick some money down the road in order to keep these guys. That's called having a healthy relationship with your quarterback. And the more you just put this stuff off and try to negotiate and play hardball, you're going to ruin that relationship. He's going to be less likely to restructure down the road. Or it's going to be early on in his contract, if you keep, you know, doing what the Cowboys did, which is just franchise tagging him, then you're going to, you're better off just doing it now, figuring it out down the road when you got to pay all these young guys.
That's a great point, Max. And I think we can end it there this week. For Max Meyerson, I'm Josh DiMaggio. This has been the Starter Pack.